Undercover Carson, Secret Agent. Operation Death Ray, an assignment in Rio.
Blonde Helena Jansen had been showing herself to be more a friend than a foe in the hunt for the grim secret. But after the episode of the Portuguese pipe and my near death from its lethal barb, Sir Giles Davenport rated her the most dangerous of my friends of the fairer sex. Faye Corelli and Hetty Fitzhenry were south in Sao Paulo, but precisely where and why we had yet to discover. Sally Bruin was working as secretary to Sir Giles' explorer friend, Commander Julius Grant. She called at the Davenport apartment where I was laid up, but it did me no good to hear that she'd been out to the night spots with my former school chum, Roger Deauville. It was from Sally's father, the late Jacob Bruin, one of the six scientists known to have landed in South America, that we received a boost to our search. Sir Giles had sent the Bruin notebook to London. He was highly elated as he told Angelo and me that a reply had come back.
We worked like the deuce to get the message decoded, Carson. This is scarcely the thing to say to a sick man, but it's going to knock your eyes out.
Had him knocked out already this evening, Sir Giles.
Huh? You have, old chap?
Well, practically. Young Sally was here.
Oh yes. Of course. Well, I'll spill the beans. The notebook seems to be a valuable prize, though the actual worth of the scientific data is unknown yet.
And why the fuss?
Give me a chance, old chap.
I'm sorry, sir. Go on.
We know that the scientists setting out from Europe for South America had been engaged in various phases of the Death Ray project.
Oh, so, sir. Anton Zarovsky, for instance, on the construction of the plant.
Exactly. Well, Carson, neatly tucked away amid the various notes was the general pattern.
Pattern? Oh, you mean how each of the six chappies fitted into that pattern?
That's the idea. Except that there were eight.
Eight?
Yes, indeed.
Oh, Excellency, our task is greater than at first we believe.
Now, the pair of you. Pause a moment. Think. Six scientists arrive. However...
Of course. When the plane crashed, two of them were killed.
That's more like it. And those two we know.
How so?
Their names have been crossed out.
Oh, good.
So six are left.
And we know four of them.
We do indeed. Dr. Diaz?
No use to us.
Anton Zarovsky?
Dead.
Professor Jacob Bruin?
Also dead.
The elusive Charco?
And the man who beat us to Didias, Zarovsky and Bruin, and still unaccounted for. Now, for the other two, sir.
Here they are. First of all, we have this name, Martin Schroeder.
Martin Schroeder,
Does it mean anything to you?
No, afraid not.
Well, at least it's a name. The other isn't quite so helpful.
How so, sir?
It appears to be a nickname, the Cossack.
The Cossack?
Yes.
Means nothing as it stands.
But man alive, at least we have some means of identifying our scientists. In the past, the difficulty has been to get any sort of a lead. We've been groping blindly.
True, sir.
We haven't exactly got home addresses, but with the aid of Angelo's numerous relatives and acquaintances, I've no doubt that we shall soon know which way to turn to take up the trail again.
Rather thought we knew that, sir.
Well, Carson, how the blazes...
Sao Paulo.
Why Sao Paulo?
Both Faye and Hetty have mysteriously deserted Rio for Brazil's other glamour city. Must be some reason for it, especially as they're not working under the same colours.
Yes, old chap, but one thing at a time. Now, Angelo.
Here all, Excellency.
Then you know what is wanted of you?
Well, to a point, Excellency.
To a point? Dash it all. We want you to track down a certain Martin Schroeder and someone nicknamed the Cossack.
But the Cossack, Excellency, I do not understand.
Oh, of course. Forgive me, old chap. I often take so much for granted. The Cossacks were famous horsemen of Russian origin.
Ah, gauchos, Excellency.
Well, yes, something the same.
Oh, then this man of science is also a skilled rider of the horse.
That's what we've got to find out, I fear.
It will be attended to at once. Already I have both relatives and acquaintances engaged upon the matter of the two senoritas who disappear.
Indeed, you have. But can they handle this fresh assignment at the same time?
There are many as yet unengaged, Excellency.
You hear that, Carson?
Sir.
This fellow's got more relatives than the poor man who becomes a millionaire overnight. But why the frown, old chap?
Just thinking, sir. I'm not enjoying being laid up.
But you're staying right here for a couple of days yet. By that time, we should have our information and a plan to tackle the next phase. In the meantime, there's no knowing what further information that notebook may yield. But you can rest assured, the boys on the Thames embankment won't be idle.
Well, perhaps they weren't idle, but nothing further came to light. Nor did Angelo have anything to report in the 2 days that followed. Days of incredible frustration. Though regular visits from Sally Bruin broke the monotony. A most refreshing young lady. Howsoever, I demanded that I should return to my hotel. I promised to Giles I would take things quietly until something broke. It seemed no great effort to stroll through the crowds to a certain antique shop. Why was I so anxious to see Helena Jensen? Well, I had a debt to settle. There was a look of genuine concern on her finely moulded features as she came towards me.
Bruce!
I just dropped by.
Everything's all right now. I bustled through with that last customer.
Rather noticed, then.
Well, I was so concerned the moment I saw you.
Concerned?
At your appearance.
Oh, best suit, best pipe.
But you look so pale. You haven't been sick.
Oh, a bit off colour, that's all.
Nothing serious, I hope.
Oh, well, let's say I took a little something and didn't agree with me. Howsoever, that little debt of ours.
Debt?
The Portuguese pipe.
Oh, of course. But I told you there was no hurry.
No, I insist. Here's the check.
If that's how you want it.
Oh, do. Yeah, take it.
Thank you, Bruce.
I'm lucky to get it, too.
Lucky to get it?
Well, it passed. Helena, I was wondering where you picked it up. The pipe, I mean.
Oh, at one of the regular auctions. You see, I told this particular dealer I was interested in unusual pipes. Bearing you in mind, of course.
And he came up with the one in question?
Yes. But, Bruce, there's something strange in your manner.
I don't know why there should be.
I'm afraid I'm getting to know you. The harder you bite on the stem of the pipe of the moment, the more you give yourself away.
Give yourself away?
Yes, Bruce. You're after something. You were asking me about the dealer who contacted me about the pipe.
So, I was.
Well, he's a man called Emmanuel Loss. Bruce, I think I understand. That pipe.
Most unusual, sure you.
There was something wrong with it.
Now, what makes you say that?
I know. I know from the way you're acting. There was, wasn't there?
Perhaps.
Oh, what a fool I was. Bruce, that pipe, it was a trap of some sort.
Well, it was a trifle unusual.
It harmed you in some way? Well, aren't you going to answer? You just smirk.
You really know nothing about that pipe?
Of course I don't.
Then best you ask Emmanuel Loss. But tell him that the Carson bloodstream's been well injected with poison. It's practically immune.
Bruce, where are you going?
Back to my hotel?
No, not yet.
But there are people staring through the window. I feel sure they're coming in.
Bruce, you must know this. Someone obviously sold that pipe to Emmanuel, hoping it would fall into your hands. I don't want to harm you, Bruce. As a matter of fact, I'm desperately anxious to protect you. And you must believe that.
I'd like to believe that, Elena. Howsoever,
I swear to you, Bruce, what else can I do?
Quite a deal.
Hurry. Hurry, they're coming in.
You could tell me how you fit into the whole business. Oh,
but what business?
Come, my dear.
Really, Bruce, I wish I could. Someday, perhaps. But I can't say anything more. I dare not. You see, it involves a certain loyalty.
Loyalty?
Please, Bruce, you'll have to go. I must attend to these people.
Then I go, Helena. I go wondering about this loyalty of yours. I wondered for quite some time. I wended my way through the gay shopping crowds of Rio, along the black and white mosaic footpaths, past the colourful little cafes. It was strange to hear Helena speaking of loyalty. We knew that she'd once been a British agent, but then dropped because her double dealings with a rival power had been detected. I was thinking about all this when I felt a hand on my shoulder. I stopped and looked around.
Signor Carson.
Huh? Oh, Reliana.
Ah, then I am not forgotten.
My dear fellow, I make a point of remembering the proprietors of cafes and cabarets, especially when such hospitality was offered.
I fear that the offer of free meals and drinks may no longer hold good at Blanca Tulipa.
Then you found Mademoiselle Corelli?
Found her. Would I be in the States, Signor, had she returned?
She hasn't, eh?
Indeed not. Without the attraction of her superb dancing, the attendance is extremely poor. But that matters nothing. All I wish is that the senorita should return and put my tortured mind at ease. She has my heart, senor. Did I not convince that?
Oh, sir.
And did you not undertake to assist me in the search for her?
I did.
Then why are you idle?
Idle?
You have not reported anything to me.
Well, I've been making inquiries.
Ah, you have? Where? What have they used?
Now, steady, old chap.
I must know. I am a desperate man.
Look, I don't want to be pestered by you, Rulliana. I told you I was as interested as you in locating the dear creature. I'm going about that my own way.
Oh.
So let's get something straight. When she's found, you'll hear, I trust. Meanwhile, the saying is, keep out of my hair.
Well, Carson, as you say, this Rilliana may be just a fool who's lost his head. I don't like the sound of him.
Frustrated Romeo, Sir Giles, nothing more.
Let's hope so.
But what's wrong here? I come in and find you and Angelo sitting in a cloud of gloom.
Our news is not the best.
How so?
It seems that our friend Charco has beaten us to it once again.
Charco has?
Indeed. In Sao Paulo.
Sir Giles, you...
I know.
While we've been twiddling thumbs in Rio, the scene switched to Sao Paulo. That's why Faye and Hetty were there.
It would appear so, Carson.
Then what are we doing here?
I rather agree now that we might be in the wrong spot. Furthermore, Angelo has something on one of your lady loves.
Faker, really?
No, senor, nothing of her as yet.
Then Hetty Fitzhenry.
Si. Each evening she is to be seen at a dim place of dancing and wine. It goes by the name of the Eagle of Gold.
The Golden Eagle, eh? Sounds an interesting sort of a nest. And best we find out what our red-headed American bird painter is doing there. Had the mysterious Charco struck once again, so placing still another part of the death ray secret beyond our reach? And did this explain the sudden disappearance of Faye and Hetty from Rio? So began another shadowy phase in Operation Death Ray.
Undercover Carson is written by Michael Noonan and produced by Walter Pym for Art Transa.